Welcome, listeners. This is Karen coming to you from the Talking Information Center, and I will be reading The Enterprise for Friday, January 6, 2023. I'll start with the front page and the lead story. Swenson adds 6 weeks to leave. Bridgewater Raynham Regional School District Superintendent Derek Swenson, who has been on a temporary leave of absence for personal reasons since September 2022, will extend his leave for an additional 6 weeks, the district school committee said. The Bridgewater Raynham Regional School District School Committee announced Tuesday that Swenson will continue to be out of work for personal reasons for the next 6 weeks. He will be using his accrued contractual time. Swenson was granted a 60-day temporary leave of absence in September. Current Assistant Superintendent Ryan Powers, who has been serving as Bridgewater Raynham Superintendent in Swenson's absence, will continue to act as superintendent. Under their leadership during this time, we look forward to the continued collaboration of staff, faculty, and families on our path to excellence, the announcement said. Bridgewater Raynham School Committee Vice Chair Kevin Maria said in an email that the leave is for a personal medical matter and that committee has provided no further details on the reason for his absence. Maria did not respond as to whether the committee expects Swenson to return following these 6 weeks. Chair Lillian Holbrook did not respond to a request for comment by the time of publication. Swenson, who first became superintendent in 2015, renewed his contract with the school district in 2022. In October, Holbrook said in an email to the Enterprise that the leave is not connected to any prior matters involving Mr. Swenson, nor is it connected to any provision in his contract. Mr. Swenson is being paid and is using his accumulated sick days, and we wish him well. After Swenson requested the leave, the committee held an executive session during a September 21 school committee meeting to discuss the character, reputation, physical condition, or mental health of an individual superintendent, according to minutes from that meeting. When the open meeting continued, the committee then discussed who to appoint as acting superintendent. Swenson and Holbrook both received backlash on social media last summer after an apparent sound system malfunction occurred during their speeches at the Bridgewater Raynham commencement on June 3rd. Accusations on social media claimed that they sounded intoxicated during their speeches, but Swenson said an audio delay distorted how speakers sounded on graduation day. Additionally, the school committee completed a job performance evaluation of Swenson in June 2022. In the evaluation, the committee marks Swenson highly, with exception of the family and community engagement category. A portion of the evaluation said, Mr. Swenson succeeded in meeting all four of his SMART goals for professional practice regarding DEI, student learning regarding evaluating the STEM and humanities, technology with increasing Chromebooks throughout the district, and district improvement with establishing a district-wide recycling program, which is environmentally sound. However, Mr. Swenson still needs to make further strides with regard to his engagement with community members to rise above and keep himself at a professional level at all times in his capacity as the superintendent of schools. And the other story from the front page. Governor Healey gets up-close look at southeastern Massachusetts. For us, this is really about getting off on a good foot. We want this message across the Commonwealth to be, we're a team, energized and ready to go, said Governor Maura Healey during her visit to the Boys and Girls Clubs at Metro South Taunton Clubhouse Tuesday afternoon. As part of her inauguration this week, Healey, along with Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll, visited five regions of the state on their Team Up Massachusetts tour to highlight community service-oriented work and the incoming administration's goal of making the state more affordable for families. Healy's visit to Taunton was her only stop in southeastern Massachusetts. "We want people who live here, who are born here, to stay here, raise their families here, grow their businesses here, and we want them coming here to our great state to do the same," said Healy, before she and Driscoll were put to work by Boys and Girls Club staff. Healy is the first woman to be elected governor of Massachusetts, as well as the first openly lesbian governor in the United States. She said one of the reasons for this tour across the Commonwealth is to bring additional insight to her administration over what she referred to as community caretaking. The focus of Tuesday's visit to the Boys and Girls Club on Court Street was the club's hydroponic farms. Dubbed freight trains, both the Taunton and Brockton chapters of the club convert shipping containers into indoor farming vessels. The crops grown through this urban farming method feed kids in need through the organization's Kids Cafe Healthy Meals program. They also help stock local food pantries across their respective areas. "I find these visits incredibly moving, seeing up close and personal specifically what's out there in terms of providing the needs for food and housing," Healy said. "No better place exemplifies this than the Boys and Girls Club." Driscoll said, "Kids are relying on us, this NEST administration, to provide them with their needs. This is a place where we learn, listen, and better prepare to take on these roles." Over 100 people filled the recreational room of the Boys and Girls Club to catch a glimpse of the new governor. Healy, Driscoll, as well as Taunton Mayor Shauna O'Connell and State Rep Carol Doherty, Democrat of Taunton, could be seen forming a work line as they packaged up assorted leafy greens like kale and chard, and peppers in individual containers to be handed out to kids later that day. Healy and former Taunton Mayor Tom Hoy, who is the current Bristol County Register of Probate, also greeted people at the clubhouse. "It's great to see them here in the heart of Bristol County, reaching out and listening to the citizens in the area. It shows the importance of community. That's a large part of what the new administration will bring to the Commonwealth," said State Senator Mark Pacheco, Democrat of Taunton, in attendance at Tuesday's event. Other tables were set up where staff and members from partner groups were compiling additional supplies to be given to young people. Also being given out were assorted school supplies, like pens, Sharpies, and glue, courtesy of Bristol County Savings Bank, as well as bags of toiletries, like deodorant, toothpaste, shampoo, soap, and mouthwash. "The fact that they are touring the state and are here at the Boys and Girls Club says a great deal about their priorities. I look forward to working with Governor Healy and Lieutenant Governor Driscoll to address the needs of our city and make Taunton the best it can be," O'Connell said. I'll turn now to the main body of the paper and our first article. GOP's McCarthy pressured to figure out speaker race. House Republicans are at a crossroads as leader Kevin McCarthy has failed over and over again to become House Speaker, but he remains determined to persuade enough conservative holdouts to vote for him and end the stalemate. What started as a political novelty, the first time in 100 years a nominee has not won the gavel on the first vote, has developed into a bitter Republican Party feud and deepening potential crisis. McCarthy is under growing pressure from restless Republicans and Democrats to find the votes he needs or step aside so the House can open fully and get on with the business of governing. His right flank detractors appear intent on waiting him out as long as it takes. "No deal yet," McCarthy said late Wednesday before the House abruptly adjourned, "but a lot of progress." The House, which is one half of Congress, is essentially at a standstill as McCarthy has failed one vote after another to win the Speaker's gavel in a grueling spectacle for all the world to see. the ballots have produced almost the same outcome. 20 conservative holdouts still refusing to support him and leaving him far short of the 218 typically needed to win the gavel. In fact, McCarthy saw his support slipping to 201 as one fellow Republican switched to vote simply present. "I think people need to work a little more," McCarthy said Wednesday as they prepared to adjourn for the night. "I don't think a vote tonight would make any difference, but a vote in the future could." When the House resumes at noon Thursday, it could be a long day. The new Republican majority was not expected to be in session on Friday, which is the anniversary of the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol. A prolonged and divisive speaker's fight would almost certainly underscore the fragility of American democracy after the attempted insurrection 2 years ago. All who serve in the House share a responsibility to bring dignity to this body, California Democrat Nancy Pelosi, the former speaker, said in a tweet. Pelosi also said the Republicans' cavalier attitude in electing a speaker is frivolous, disrespectful, and unworthy of this institution. "We must open the House and proceed with the people's work." Some Republicans appear to be growing uneasy with the way House Republicans had taken charge after the midterm election, only to see the chamber upended over the speaker's race in their first days in the new majority. Colorado Republican Ken Buck voted for McCarthy, but said Wednesday that he told him he needs to figure out how to make a deal to move forward or eventually step aside for someone else. McCarthy has vowed to fight to the finish for the speaker's job in a battle that has thrown the new majority into tumult for the first days of the new Congress. The right flank conservatives, led by the Freedom Caucus and aligned with former President Donald Trump, appeared emboldened by the standoff, even though Trump publicly backed McCarthy. "This is actually an invigorating day for America," said Florida Republican Byron Donalds, who was nominated 3 times by his conservative colleagues as an alternative. "There's a lot of members in the chamber who want to have serious conversations about how we can bring this all to a close and elect a speaker." The disorganized start to the new Congress pointed to difficulties ahead with the Republicans now in control of the House, much the way that some past Republican speakers, including John Boehner, had trouble leading a rebellious right flank. The result? Governor shutdown standoffs and Boehner's early retirement. A new generation of conservative Republicans, many allied with Trump's Make America Great Again agenda, want to upend business as usual in Washington, and we're committed to stopping McCarthy's rise without concessions to their priorities. But even Trump's strongest supporters disagree on this issue. Colorado Republican Lauren Boebert, who nominated Donalds the second time, called on the former president to tell McCarthy, "Sir, you do not have the votes and it's time to withdraw." By McCarthy's own calculation, he needs to flip about a dozen Republicans who have so far withheld their backing as he presses on for the job he has long wanted. To win support, McCarthy has already agreed to many of the demands of the Freedom Caucus members, who have been agitating for rules changes and other concessions that give rank-and-file members more influence. And a McCarthy-aligned campaign group, the Conservative Leadership Fund, offered another concession, saying it would no longer spend money on elections in any open-seat primaries in safe Republican districts. The far-right lawmakers have complained that their preferred candidates for the House were being treated unfairly, as the campaign fund put its resources elsewhere. Pennsylvania Republican Scott Perry, the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, said the latest rounds of talks was productive. "I am open to whatever will give me the power to defend my constituents against this godforsaken city," said Texas Republican Chip Roy, another member of the conservative group. But those opposing McCarthy do not all have the same complaints, and he may never be able to win over some of them. "I'm ready to vote all night, all week, all month, and never for that person," said Florida Republican Matt Gaetz. Such staunch opposition carries echoes of McCarthy's earlier bid for the job when he dropped out of the speaker's race in 2015 because he could not win over the conservatives. "We have no exit strategy," South Carolina Republican Ralph Norman said. "There's nothing he can give me or any of our members that's going to be a magic pill," Norman said. "We're here to vet a speaker, vet the person third in line for the presidency, and that's a good thing." Not since 1923 had a speaker's election gone to multiple ballots. The longest fight for the gavel started in late 1855 and dragged on for 2 months, with 133 ballots during debates over slavery in the run-up to the Civil War. Democrats enthusiastically nominated and renominated their House leader, Akeem Jeffries, on all six ballots for speakers over the first 2 days. He repeatedly won the most votes overall, 2012. If McCarthy could win 213 votes and then persuade the remaining naysayers to simply vote present, he would be able to lower the threshold required under the rules to have the majority. It's a strategy former House speakers, including Pelosi and Boehner, had used when they confronted opposition, winning with fewer than 218 votes. One Republican, Victoria Spartz of Indiana, voted present on Wednesday's rounds, but it only ended up lowering McCarthy's total. Our next story. The United Kingdom and others in Europe saw the hottest year in 2022. Britain had its warmest year on record in 2022, official figures showed Thursday. The latest evidence that climate change is transforming Europe's weather. The Met Office Weather Agency said the provisional annual temperature in the United Kingdom was 10.3 degrees Celsius, 50 Fahrenheit, the highest since comparable records began in 1884. The previous record was 9.88 centigrade, 49.8 Fahrenheit, set in 2014. Met Office scientists said human activity, primarily fossil fuel emissions, has made such warm conditions vastly more likely. Britain's 10 hottest years on record have all been since 2003. The results showed that recording 10 Celsius in a natural climate would occur around once every 500 years, whereas in our current climate, it could be as frequently as once every 3 or 4 years, said Met Office climate attribution scientist Nikos Christidis. Britain is not alone. France's average temperature was above 14 centigrade, 57.2 Fahrenheit, in 2022, making it the hottest year since weather readings began in 1900. Switzerland's Meteorological Service said the Alpine nation's annual average temperature of 7.4 centigrade was by far the highest value since measurements began in 1864. Spain also had its hottest year since records started in 1961, according to the National Weather Agency, AMET, with an average daily temperature of 15.4 centigrade or 59.7 Fahrenheit. It said the four hottest years on record for the southern European country have all come since 2015. Last year saw summer drought and heat waves across much of Europe, with the temperature in Britain rising above 40 degrees centigrade for the first time on record. Norway's Svalbard Islands in the Arctic had their warmest summer in more than a century of record-keeping. The archipelago's average temperature for June, July, and August was 7.4 centigrade or 45.3 Fahrenheit, the Norwegian Meteorological Institute said. Autumn brought more heavy rain in parts of Europe, including the mountainous island, Italian island of Ischia, where downpours in November triggered a massive landslide that pushed cars and buildings into the sea and killed at least a dozen people. Unlike the United States and Canada, which have been hit by bitter cold and snowstorms, much of Europe is experiencing unseasonably warm winter weather. In Germany, the year ended with the warmest New Year's Eve on record, with temperatures reaching 68 degrees Fahrenheit in the south of the country. Belarus, Belgium, the Czech Republic, Latvia, Poland, and the Netherlands all set national record highs for December 31st or January 1st. As 2023 begins, many low and medium altitude ski resorts in the Alps, the Pyrenees, and other European ranges are suffering from a lack of snow. In Bosnia, spring-like weather has foiled even artificial snow. Either it's too warm to make it or it melts soon after being spat out onto the slopes. Along the slopes in Belšinskaya, Sarajevo, on Wednesday, snow accumulation amounted to little more than several white patches on an otherwise grassy landscape of brown and green. Our next story, U.S. to aid innocent bystander, Moldova. The United States will provide $30 million in aid to Moldova to help the small country tackle an energy crisis and other economic hardships caused by Kremlin's unprovoked and unjustified war against the Ukraine, a U.S. government aid agency said Thursday. The U.S. Agency for International Development said the funds will be paid to Moldova, one of Europe's poorest countries, landlocked between Ukraine and Romania, through a World Bank trust fund. The country will also be reimbursed for previous electricity purchases. U.S. aid said that as Moldova began to recover from a recent series of severe shocks, including the COVID-19 pandemic, and a fourfold increase in natural gas prices, the war in Ukraine has placed its short-term economic recovery and its long-term economic prospects at risk. In a statement, the agency called the aid critical because of the war's impact. Since Moscow's forces invaded Ukraine on February 24th, Moldova, a former Soviet republic with a population of about 2.6 million, has lurched from crisis to crisis. These include large arrivals of refugees fleeing the war next door, and an acute energy crisis that worsened after Moscow dramatically reduced supplies. Additionally, skyrocketing inflation left some officials worried citizens would be unable to pay their winter energy bills. Our next story. Burn victim in wheelchair taken to Boston Hospital after Kingston fire. A wheelchair-bound woman was taken to a Boston hospital with life-threatening injuries Tuesday after a fire broke out in her apartment. The Kingston Fire Department said firefighters were called to a building blaze with reports of an elderly person trapped at 73 Main Street at about 2:30 p.m. Tuesday. When they arrived, building residents said a fire in the kitchen had been extinguished by a neighbor, but a woman in a wheelchair was still inside. First responders entered the apartment under heavy smoke conditions, the department said, and found the victim who had suffered life-threatening injuries. Boston Metaflight was requested, but unable to respond due to weather. An ambulance took her to Boston Hospital. The cause of the fire is under investigation by the Kingston Fire and Police Departments, as well as Massachusetts State Police. Mutual aid from Plymouth Fire and Brewster Ambulance assisted at the scene, while Duxbury Fire provided station coverage. The Kingston Fire Department expends its thoughts and prayers to the victims and her family, officials said on Facebook. Another story. Bomb cyclone pummels parts of California. Damaging winds and heavy rains from a powerful atmospheric river pounded California on Thursday, knocking out power to tens of thousands, causing flash flooding, and contributing to the deaths of at least two people, including a child whose home was hit by a falling tree. Officials had ordered evacuations in a high-risk coastal area where mudslides killed 23 people in 2018 as the huge storm barreled into the state Wednesday. Authorities warned residents to hunker down at home in anticipation of flooded roads, toppled trees, and other risks. It was the latest in a rapid series of atmospheric rivers, long plumes of moisture stretching far over the Pacific to hit California. This one was a pineapple express originating near Hawaii and pulled toward the west coast by a rotating area of rapidly falling air pressure known as a bomb cyclone. In Sonoma County, Occidental Volunteer Fire Chief Ronald Lunardi said a child believed to be under 2 years old died Wednesday night after a tree fell on a home. In Fairfield, a 19-year-old woman died after her vehicle hydroplaned on a flooded road and hit a utility pole. The storm dumped rain in parts of the San Francisco Bay Area, where the region had been under flood warnings. In Southern California, the storm was expected to peak into early Thursday, with Santa Barbara and Ventura counties likely to see the most rain, forecasters said. We anticipate that this may be one of the most challenging and impactful series of storms to touch down in California in the last 5 years, said Nancy Ward, director of the California Governor's Office of Emergency Services. San Francisco Mayor London Breed said at a news conference that the city was preparing for a war. Crews cleared clogged storm drains, tried to move homeless people into shelters, and passed out emergency supplies and ponchos to those who refused to go. The city distributed so many sandbags to residents that the supplies temporarily ran out. Powerful winds gusting to 85 miles per hour or more, forced the cancellation of more than 70 flights at San Francisco International Airport and downed trees and power lines. Firefighters rescued a family after a tree fell onto their car. The fire department reported large pieces of glass fell off the Fox Plaza Tower near the Civic Center, although no injuries were reported. It was highly possible the damage was wind-related, the department tweeted. The storm is the latest of three atmospheric river storms in the last week to reach the drought-stricken state. California Governor Gavin Newsom declared a state of emergency to allow for a quick response to aid in cleanup from another powerful storm that hit just days earlier. With that, I'll close my broadcast. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you have a lovely weekend.